Good morning and welcome to MCA Canada's new podcast. And I would like to welcome Debbie Johnston, who is going to be our special guest today. Debbie is celebrating her 50th year since she first became the first female licensed plumber in Ontario. An article recently came across my desk and we were pretty excited and wanted to celebrate this within our membership and our Women in Mechanical Construction members. And so it is an absolute pleasure for me to be hosting this podcast and interviewing Debbie. So Debbie, welcome to MCA Canada.
Hello.
We're gonna ask you some questions today. We're really interested and intrigued to hear your story, find out how the trades have changed over the years, some obstacles maybe that you've faced over time. We're just really excited to hear your story. So maybe we'll start off with, if you can tell us a little bit about how you actually got into the trades. How did you hear about plumbing? It's not exactly a traditional role for women 50 years ago.
Well, it was for me. My dad was a licensed plumber and also a sheet metal worker and a gas fitter. And I remember in my childhood, I probably was around 5 years old, he would take me to the shop with him and I would watch what he was doing after hours if he had some work to finish up. Most of it was sheet metal work at that time, but I would go with him and just watch what he was doing and look around the shop and do things like that. And when I finished high school, I finished grade 13, I applied to universities. I was accepted, but I decided not to go. I stayed working at the office where I'd been with my dad. And I enrolled at Fanshawe College in London in a general business program, but I did not like it and I did not finish the course. I went back to work in the office. And one day in May of 1973, a man from the Ministry of Colleges and Universities, which at that time was the Ministry of Labor, came in and asked if we had any apprentices that he needed to sign up. And I said, well, there's nobody here but my dad and me. And he said, what about you? His name was Ron Jones. He died not too many years after that, unfortunately. So he never knew that I went through completely. But he just said, think about it. I'll come back with paperwork and we'll see what happens. So he came back and my dad and I signed all the papers and I became a plumbing apprentice in May 1973.
That's amazing. And really cool for Ron to have had that foresight to think outside the box, the traditional box, I guess, of hiring men into the trade. And
lots of other men at that time wouldn't have even heard saying that. No.
Exactly. So what licenses do you hold?
Just plumbing.
The plumbing? Not just plumbing. You have your plumbing trade. And back in 50 years ago, was it the same process where it was 4 years and
Receive
it?
So I think it was May and June of 1974, I went to Fanshawe College to do my basic plumbing training. And the London Free Press came in and did a story on
Oh,
me.
Wow. That's cool. Oh, no. That's a great picture of you working on the tools, Debbie.
That's at Fanshawe College in London when I was there for basic plumbing. And the London Free Press came in and did a story about me. And I have other newspaper articles as well from a couple of years after that, a couple of years after that. And local Ingersoll paper, actually. So.
Well, you're really quite a trailblazer, actually.
This is my Fanshawe College. Whoops, sorry.
Read it,
Fanshawe.
Yep. I can see it. That's amazing.
Yep, that's my apprenticeship certificate when I finished the three courses of schooling: the basic, intermediate, and advanced. So, and graduated from Fanshawe, even though all these years later, Fanshawe still doesn't recognize us as alumni.
Really?
Well, we'll have to work on that. They do newer apprentices, but I guess that was too long ago. So colleges had only been around for 10 years by the time we graduated. So.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, we'll make sure that you get your due recognition.
Well, I've had lots of recognition. And my two of my three children have gone to Fanshawe and graduated. So they know.
And the trades as well?
Well, my son is a plumber. My youngest. Awesome. Yeah. My oldest son is an engineer. My youngest is a plumber. And my daughter in the middle is actually a parts advisor for a big Honda dealership in London. So she went through, she was the only girl in her class taking parts management.
Yeah. You've got your whole family is trailblazers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wonderful leadership by parents. Wonderful parents. So tell me, how did you receive any obstacles, I guess, or, come across any aggressive situations on a job site? Because unfortunately, sometimes we hear those stories. So.
No, because I think being in a small town, and my dad had been in business for several years and had worked. He actually got his plumbing license in 1951. He started his apprenticeship in 1947. After leaving the army, he was in World War II. When he came back from Europe, the government had training courses that you could take, and he decided to take plumbing. There were no plumbers in his family, and he just decided on that. He had been doing electrical work overseas, and I don't think he liked it as well, so he changed and decided to take plumbing. So that's how our family started in plumbing. And he was known in Ingersoll. His parents came here in 1913, and they were known. So there was a background history of our family. So our customers, we were a small service company. We did repairs in your house. We did repairs in the stores uptown, churches, municipal buildings, and quite a few of the local factories. So no, I did not run into anything, adverse. Everybody knew me. Everybody liked me.
Well, if it was a small town, they knew you probably had brothers and dad that were going to come out and take care of business too, right?
The only time I ever ran into a comment was when the London Free Press did a story or two on me. They would go and interview other people in the trade. And there were some comments from people in London and maybe other cities that, oh, I've read about her. She's the girl who thinks she can be a plumber. But that's about as far as it went. When I was at Fanshawe with my class of boys, I helped them. They helped me. We got along just great. And I had a couple of them go all the way through all three courses with me. And the others changed, came and went. But I was not so good at welding. So one of the, in advanced plumbing, we did electric welding. And one of the guys that was a plumbing apprentice already had his welding ticket and worked in Sarnia in the petrochemical industry. And he actually stood at my elbow and helped me do the welding. So, and then when they had trouble with maybe, math or English or something like that, I helped them. So
it was. I love it. I love that there was that respect.
Yep. But I never ran into any guys my age anywhere in the whole industry that said anything bad.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I mean that you had that wonderful experience.
Wholesalers, salesmen, customers, everybody. It was not a bad experience whatsoever. So now I know that other girls did have trouble because I actually had a couple of phone calls during they asked me, what would you do if this happened? And I said, well, I actually haven't had any experience with that, but do your best, keep working, do your work correctly, and just keep going. Don't give up.
Nose to the ground, eh?
Your workmanship will prove that you know what you're doing.
So, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So one of the, I think what's kind of cool, I've gone on a few job sites myself and have checked things out. And when I leave it, I always think, wow, this is so cool. Like when people, when the building is complete, they walk away and they can, you know, show their kids or their friends like, hey, I had a part in creating this building.
Yes.
There's that sense of pride that goes into the trades. I'm wondering if there's any buildings, you know, that are any experiences that you had that, you know, hold a lot of memories for you and down in the London area. Like, do you kind of experience that same feeling as you drive by?
I never worked anywhere but Ingersoll and the surrounding area. So that includes Thamesford, Kintore, Mount Elgin, like out in the country. We had farm customers and we did a lot of work out on in barns and their houses, things like that. So the one story that I used to tell was there was a bake shop on the main street of Ingersoll, Zurbriggs Bakery, and they were lower than what the sewer was in the street. So in their basement, they had a sewage ejector, which is a tank with a pump in it where all the stuff drained into the tank and then got pumped up into the piping. Because it was a bakery, there were fruit, like yeast, bread dough, all that kind of stuff going down, getting washed off the pans and going down the drain. So we had to pull the pump out and have it repaired. And the smell from that pit is probably worse than any sewage pit that you would think of. The yeast fermenting or whatever, it was just one of the worst things. But you just took the pump out, took it out, hosed it off and took it to the repair shop and had it fixed. And another thing, just recently my son was working in a duplex or a triplex old house, and you cut the pipe off in the basement after telling the tenants, you cannot flush the toilets, don't run any water, I'm going to open the pipe and then get it connected back up, it'll only take me a few minutes. Well, they don't remember. The hand goes to the handle and flush. Yeah. Down it comes into the crawl space where you're working and runs all over the place. So those kinds of things happen in plumbing, but that's...
That would be awful. So does your son come to you for advice?
Pardon?
Does your son come to you for advice?
Oh, yes, he has over the years, yes. Not only my son, but lots of people over the years. When plumbing inspectors came into being in a bigger way, like in small towns. I'm sure cities always had lots of inspectors, but smaller towns didn't necessarily have a licensed plumber as an inspector. And the local inspector back in the 70s and 80s would call me and ask questions.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. So I'm sure you're aware that there is a huge shortage in the skilled trades right now.
Yeah,
with all their retirements. And I mean, we knew this was coming, so it's not a surprise, but somehow we let it get away from us. And so we're really encouraging women into going into the skilled trades and trying to present to people that it is a valuable career option. You know, you don't have to go to university. You will make great money as a plumber or an HVAC tech.
Yes.
And so we have to kind of change that attitude that exists that the skilled trades are for men or they're for uneducated people. And
yes.
and MC Canada, we're really working on that, as is the whole industry. So what would be your advice, or what kind of advice can you give to us that we can share with women to tell them about the trade and encourage them?
Well, I'm pretty sure that by this point in time, at least I hope they have, started talking about it at the high school level. However, I read an article not too long ago that they want to start talking about trades as early as grade one or two. And that's probably what they should do. Instead of asking the little kids, what would you like to be when you grow up? And everybody says, I want to be a rocket scientist. No, there are lots of other options. And maybe trades has never been stressed. I know it wasn't when I went to school, but then that's ancient history. So... I'm hoping that maybe now they will start to teach little kids that there are a lot of options out there. You don't have to be a nurse, a teacher, whatever. There's lots and lots and lots of things. When I went to school all those years ago, I always thought in the back of my mind, well, I'll just be a teacher because I liked school. I liked reading. I liked the schoolwork. So that I went through life assuming that I would just become a teacher. But when I got to the actual point of going to university, something just said, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I do this. So
that's amazing. So we are working on, you know, trying to get out to the schools. I know it didn't help a few years ago. They took away all the trade classrooms.
Yes.
But they're bringing them back. So that's exciting news to see that coming back into the high schools. And I've seen a few storybooks that have been written recently, you know, talking about girls and the trades. I personally think what they need to do is create a TV show with women that are plumbers, because everybody wants to be a crime investigator because of CSI, right? So I think we just need a...
Other than Mario Brothers, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, they're plumbers, supposedly, although you never see any evidence of it. But
we need to do like a Desperate Housewives, a reboot of Desperate Housewives, and they're all plumbers.
Well, not just plumbers. You need everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's great advice. You know, I would love to encourage you to take part in our committees and any communications and share your story with more women, because I think it's really inspirational. So your business, your company was a member of the MCA, MCA Ontario, I believe.
Well, I don't know that because I don't have any paperwork anywhere that says that. I think they just saw an article and invited me to that event, the Ottawa branch, but I don't know that officially we were, you know, my dad's business was, we never paid, was there membership fees and things like that? Because we never paid any.
Well, they must've just heard about you.
Yes.
Because there are membership fees. So I just want to share this. I think it's really cool. In 1983, Debbie was invited to attend the MCA Ontario conference. And by MCA Ottawa, and they wanted her to be at their booth, and they talk about the hospitality suites, and I just think it's a really great piece of history for the MCA, and thank you for sharing that invitation with us.
That event was held in Toronto.
That one was held in Toronto.
Yes.
At their annual conference. And I was telling Debbie earlier that the MCA Ontario conference goes to places like Dominican Republic. Well, they may go to Dubai eventually, but Dominican Republic, and they go to Europe, and they don't necessarily stay in Toronto anymore. So I'll see if I can get you an invite at one of their next conferences.
All expenses paid, of course.
Of course. Of course. So today, I think what has evolved also, Debbie, I would say in the last 5 to 10 years, is you're starting to see a lot of women in construction groups that are forming, and to create an environment where women can come together, and they either take, you know, leadership courses. It's an opportunity to share stories, provide encouragement to each other, maybe some wine and cheeses every now and then. But I love seeing that grow. And I'm assuming that when you were going through it, there probably wasn't anything like that.
Well, nothing that was titled for women. No.
Nothing formalized.
No, no.
Yeah.
Now, I went to, every 2 years, there's been a big mechanical trades exhibition in Toronto. And I have in the, they started out having it at the CNE in the automotive building. And now it's moved to the one on the waterfront, the convention center.
Okay.
In Toronto. And I've been to a lot of those over the years, just to see. It's just an information thing where all the manufacturers bring in their booth and show you all the stuff that's new and upcoming. And it's not just plumbing, it's heating and HVAC and you know, all those household trades, they call them. But I've gone to that, and also, a lot of the wholesalers have had events over the years, and I've tried to go to as many of them as I could, just to know what there is that's new and upcoming, to keep on top of the products, because you talk about change. I can't believe the way the industry has changed in my 50 years. We've gone from being able to repair faucets to the point where we now throw them away and put in a new one because it's not worth the time and the actual individual parts to repair the things. And that's not how I learned. We've, well, become a throwaway society. And I can really see that from what I learned and what I did, because I did a lot of service plumbing in houses. And now you wouldn't do that. You just pretty near go in and take the toilet out and throw it out and put in a new one, which is silly, but that's the way we've come.
And our whole society is like that. So did you stay on the tools for your whole career, or did you move into a role in the office? Were you an estimator or a project manager, or did you stay on the tools the whole time?
Yes.
All the above, eh?
I stayed on the tools during my apprenticeship, of course, and as much as I could for the few years afterwards, but the business needed to be run. So I was the person who did that. I did all of the estimating, the buying, you know, the purchasing of all the materials we needed. I also, we had a walk-in shop where you could go in and buy parts. So I did all the selling and inventory, all that kind of stuff that goes with it, plus the bookkeeping. I did all the invoicing, all the bookkeeping, right up to taking everything to our accountant at the end of the year. So I have a vast knowledge of both ends of the business, the actual get your hands dirty or the talk to the accountant. So,
and that's what's so great about this career is it's never the same thing every day. It's always something new, whether it's a new building you're building or a new job within the construction industry. Now,
I don't have very much experience at all in new construction. So as far as a house, you know, the cement foundation being poured and the plumber going in and laying it all out, no, I can draw it out. I know what parts you need. I know all the list of material that needs to be purchased for that job, but I am not a fast installer of a house plumbing. Now, my son, on the other hand, that's what he trained as. He trained as a new home plumber, and he can whip through that stuff. Like I just stand there with my mouth open, wondering how he can do things so quickly. But my
technology.
Was repair. So repair and renovation.
Technology is really advancement too, hasn't it? There's so many advancements and
Even the tools. Like we did a lot of hand cutting back when I started. Now there's power pipe cutters for plastic pipe. Like it just seems kind of silly to me, but that's and speaking of machines, I wish I had like a nickel or a dime for every thread that I cut on pipe, because having a shop, my dad's shop open, every person back in the day when we had so much steel pipe around for gas, for oil, for water, I did a lot of threading from as small as 1/8 pipe up to a 4-inch pipe daily.
That's awesome. Daily, you'd be a rich lady.
That's almost becoming a lost art.
Yeah, it really is.
Soldering. I learned to solder. Well, that one picture I showed with me at Fanshawe where I'm actually caulking a lead joint. Well, no plumber does that anymore. In fact, back then it hadn't been done, but they were still teaching it. But now even copper pipes and soldering is becoming a lost art because insurance company said it's too dangerous to have that open fire inside a house. So we don't want you using copper, switch to plastic. So the soldering ability, knowledge is going to be lost by a lot of the, in fact, the last job I worked at before I retired, I saw that a lot of the young guys didn't get taught how to solder copper pipes. Things have changed, that's for sure.
And I think, you know, when we promote the trades, that's one of the things we have to look at is promoting it as a craftsmanship. And, you know, you're acting artisan of
absolutely
of
the and, yes. and yeah yes you have to have pride in your work and
yes.
do it well, and exactly. no matter whether it's plumbing or just wiring, you know, I'm sure electricians do things differently than a homeowner would in your own house, because they are mindful of what their work looks like when they're done. And you can walk into a house where maybe the plumber hasn't been as conscientious of how his work looks, and it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
To a plumber who has many years of experience. Yeah.
And I love too that your story, you know, you shared that you were a plumber, you were on the tools, you were doing the physical work, but there's so many other options that you can and take. And I think it's also important that we share that, you know, there's that concept of once a plumber or once on the tools, always on the tools, but you know, there's, you can own your own company at the end of it. And
not, and yeah, no, nope. yeah. there's so much variety in plumbing.
Yeah. Like,
there's new house plumbing, there's repair, there's renovation, there's industrial plumbing where you're working with 36 inch diameter piping, like doing water intake for the city of Toronto, things like that. They're all plumbers on those job sites. They're working with pipes that you can't, that you can pretty near walk through, not tiny half inch lines in your house. So there's so much variety in the trades.
And we're kind of calling it, not that it's official, but we're kind of calling it a green trade. HVAC and plumbing, you know, we're going to have a huge role. This industry is going to have a huge role in helping to achieve net zero and limit the emissions out of the large buildings and the retrofits. And so it's a pretty important trade. And I think that a lot of young people are very conscientious of the environment. And so hopefully they'll look at this as an opportunity to do their bit in the world.
I've seen that over the years too, because when solar panels for the roof of your house first came in, we had some installations of those because they were filled with glycol and a pump. You had a tank in the basement and a pump, and the glycol was pumped up to the roof, heated by the sun, and then back into the tank where the water from the house circulated around the coil, and it was heated by that warm coil. So that was back in the 80s, and then it kind of switched over. Now they're electrical panels, like instead of using water or fluid, to use hydro and do it that way. But yes, there's been a lot of changes as far as plumbing, how much water comes out of your shower head, your taps.
Right. It's all
reduced to what it was when I started, and it's fine. We can still get by on less gallons per minute.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Same with the toilets. Look at how many municipalities have actually put out a program where they'll give you some money to change your toilet from your old 5 gallon flush to your 1 gallon flush. So
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful trade, and we play a really important role in society. And I think on that note, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your story. I love hearing your story. I'm going to shout your story from the rooftops, and as we continue to promote women joining the mechanical contracting trade, and I hope that maybe somewhere down the road we can work together on some new initiatives too.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Take care, and we'll talk soon for sure.
Okay.
Okay.